We live in an era where, whether we like it or not, image is more prominent than ever. A big part of this is personal style. Today on the Originers podcast, we're going to be joined by stylist Sarah Gray, who will empower you to not simply follow trends or others' opinions, but to find your true self in what you wear and ultimately your greatest confidence. And she has some important questions you need to ask your wardrobe today. Originers tap into the power of their originality to make amazing things happen, whether they have a personal ambition or are on a mission to make the world brighter. Originers have dreams, passions, and ideas, but most importantly, they take action. On this podcast, originers from around the world talk to me, Loretta Milan, about the incredible impact they've made, their successes, how they've overcome challenges, and the most important lessons they've learned along the way. We want to fire you up to make the most of your originality too. When you are an originer, you make the future. Whether it's on social media, at work, or in our personal lives, wherever we step out, we are creating an impression, and it doesn't take long. According to a study by Princeton psychologists Janine Willis and Alexander Todorov, it takes just a tenth of a second to form an impression of a stranger from their face, and what you wear builds even more of a picture. With London Fashion Week in full swing as this episode airs, it's a reminder that the constant drive to create the latest trends for people to follow and influence what you wear is very much alive. But today's guest, Sarah Gray, is on a mission to change how we think about style, moving away from how fast we can follow fashion to how we can instead follow our own originality and create an impression that we don't pull off the hanger or shove on and hope for the best, but that we tailor make for ourselves. Sarah speaks regularly at events across the UK as well as in the media, most recently on Sky News. And as you listen to our fabulous conversation, you'll have a front row seat. There may not be a catwalk, photographers, or mountains of fabric here in the Originers studio, but there will be plenty of inspiration to give you the confidence to strut your true self out there with pride. Sarah, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Now I know, Sarah, that early on you knew that you did not want to look like others. Tell me about some of your early experiences of shopping for clothes and how you started to uncover your own style.
That's so true, Loretta. Looking back, at the time I didn't know this was what I was doing, but looking back, I could now see that I used to enjoy shopping. So it's not something, you know, it has always been something I've enjoyed, but I didn't want to look like the stores were presenting to me, you know, the sort of the whatever was the fashion at the time or the trend at the time. I would go into, this will show my age now, so this will, I'd go into the likes of Tammy Girl and, you know, those types of
stores. I love Tammy Girl.
And those types of stores and be inspired, don't get me wrong, but never wanted to pick up the full outfit that was displayed on the models on the, you know, the in the windows or inside the store. And so I would pick out one or two pieces perhaps, but then somehow curate my own outfits from those, combined with something that I would already have in the wardrobe or that I'd picked up in a more alternative sort of shop, shall we say. So where I grew up, we had lots of alternative stores that sold very almost not homemade but almost that kind of homemade vibe types of clothing, and so I would curate outfits from that real sort of cross section of the shops that were available to me. And there was a time that I remember going into it was Tammy Girl, and there was a bright pink, funny that I'm wearing pink today actually, because this was a bright pink silk, wasn't silk in my eyes, it was silk, but it was probably some cheap fabric at the time, blouse. And I so wanted this blouse, and I had, was, you know, had a little part-time job, so I'd saved hard for it, and I couldn't wait to wear it. But then when it came to wearing it, confidence was an issue, and I wanted to wear it because it was so different, but then I couldn't. And then there was that whole turmoil in my head about wanting to be different, wanting to find my own style, but then actually being scared to do so.
So tell me about that battle you had between wanting to look different, but also struggling with not wanting to be seen.
So it came from all through childhood, really, just having a severe skin condition. So I didn't want to be noticed. And so I would do anything to hide away. And that meant not wearing short sleeves, always covering up, and all that, those kind of actual physical things. But it meant in my head that it was a real struggle between, I don't want to look like everyone else, so therefore by looking like everyone else I would blend in more, but actually I actually don't want to stand out, because if I stand out people will notice my skin. And so it was a real, yeah, I think battle's a good word, but it was an inner turmoil, you know, and one that took me a very long time into adult years to overcome. And so, you know, I think the important, my message is always that, you know, I don't have natural confidence. I have, I don't know, taught myself it, learnt it in some way. And we can all do that in our own unique way.
And has that been a bit of a journey for you?
100%, yeah. And it's been one that is, I still work on every day. So I still catch myself saying things like, oh no, I can't do that, I can't. And I was like, hang on a minute, no, that's the old me. You know, of course you can, of course you can show up, of course you can go and talk here or there, or, you know, be on the video or whatever the visibility factor is requiring at that moment. It is a continuous journey. So yeah, it's been a long journey. And one that I wouldn't change. I think it's really important when you're helping others to become comfortable with being visible and building confidence, that you need to understand what that feels like. And I have walked it, lived it, and so I totally get it.
Mm. And I think I get a sense that for you, your journey into the world of work, this sense of rebellion came out at that time, didn't it? Tell me about how, even though there was a dress code, you were feeling the need to rebel slightly in little ways that you could.
Like, yeah, you're right. I was in the corporate world for a long time, and of course at that time it came with quite strict dress code, and I was okay with that. I mean, I like to be, you know, well presented and all of those things, but I didn't want to be, and I've got to choose my words carefully because it's not a reflection on anybody else, but I didn't want to be, for myself, I didn't want to be boring. And so I would do silly, no, I don't know about silly, some people thought they were silly, I was just, for me it was just a unique way of changing up the dress code. But I remember one time I saved and bought myself like the most expensive pair of shoes I could afford at the time, and they were black, so they were in that sense quite conservative, but they had a silver slight buckle on the front and a mirrored heel. I mean, you know, think about them now and think, what was I doing? But it was my own little way of just putting a bit of style into my outfit and not still conforming, but having a bit of a unique twist on it.
And, you know, your colleagues noticed these things, didn't they? Because when it was time for you to leave your corporate world and make a break for it, what did they tell you?
So it was a surprise, actually, because I didn't really, no one ever said anything to me, but I remember that when I was leaving and I didn't have a definite plan at that time. It's the only time in my life that I was about to step off the world of work for a couple of months, and I was I remember being in a room and one of the guys said, well, I think you're going to go and do something creative. And I thought, how on earth can you know that? I didn't know at the time what I was going to do, so I didn't know how he knew. It was another example of somebody's perception of me that I hadn't quite yet formed of myself. So, yeah.
You were in training at the time, weren't you? In an IT company.
That's right. Exactly. I mean, so far away from the world I'm in now, and a great world. But yeah, interesting that people can see things in us that we don't necessarily acknowledge in ourselves.
And did your family see this in you as well?
Definitely, particularly my sisters. So I have an older sister and a younger sister, and both of them would call me and say, for instance, if we had a family event, even if they were doing things without me, right, what are you going to wear? What shall I wear? And it was a whole, oh, Sarah will know, she'll be able to help us. And then when I actually decided that I was going to leave my corporate job and move to a different area, my older sister said to me, I think you should do the style thing. And I just looked at her and said, what do you mean? I can't do that. And I knew it existed, obviously, and I knew, but I didn't know it was available to, you know, the average person, let's say. I thought it was something that, you know, was for the rich and famous or those on telly or something. And so I said, oh, I don't know about that. I can't possibly do that. And I mentioned this conversation to my younger sister, and she said, well, yeah, of course. Don't you remember at school, everyone copied what you wore? Now, think back to the beginning of our conversation. I said that I didn't want to look like everyone else, but I was also scared to be visible. So I had no idea that this copying Sarah thing was going on. Just, it was like she sort of slapped me around the face. I genuinely was a shock. But both of them, in their comments, had planted a seed. And I thought, maybe I need to sit up and take note of what they're saying to me, so that they are instrumental in what's been the last 18 and a half years of a career in style.
I think the remarkable thing of talking about you is when I talk to anybody about their original special gifts, is that everyone seems to think that this special thing about them is normal. It's almost instinctive, but everyone else around them sees this actually really special. And you chose to really embrace this thing and make the break for it and become a stylist. So talk to me about how you realised you were making a difference in helping people with their style.
So I think it comes from particularly, first of all, just intuitively helping my sisters. But then gradually, as I took the plunge and retrained and came into this new whole new world for me, I realised that I wasn't the only one that lacked confidence, and that there were hundreds and hundreds of women out there that actually felt the same way, not for the same reasons, but just that we had this commonality in the way that we lacked confidence and were afraid to show up and be visible. So I wanted to make it accessible to everyone, you know, to anybody, any woman who felt that she needed some help but didn't know where to go for it. And it's really key to me when a client says to me, guess what, Sarah, I went out and I stood on that stage, or I did a little video, or even if they just say, I wore that dress when I went out for dinner last night, or I put that outfit on when I went out just for a coffee in town. You know, it doesn't have to be a big event or a big gesture, just having that confidence to step out of your front door in a way that feels comfortable to you every time. It just blows me away. I just am so privileged and honoured to help.
It's amazing that you make such a difference to people's confidence. I don't actually think it's necessarily restricted to any particular gender, but it is a particular difference you do make to women. And I've seen you be in a room and transform so many people, and how just one item can transform how they feel about themselves. And that is incredible. So how can someone now listening to this episode, how can they find their original style and find that confidence for themselves? What's a simple way that they could do that?
So it's some questions that you need to ask your own wardrobe, really. And I always start this way, but it's something you can do by yourself if you wish. we'll call it Style Finder because it's that first step to finding your unique style. And the danger that we fall into, particularly when we're marketed to all the time and we've got emails popping in and, oh, buy this and buy this and all of that, is that we are drawn into buying things without any consideration, without any careful thought as to whether they work for us. So we need to kind of delve through all of that. And the first thing you can do is start with any one item in your wardrobe that you really love. It doesn't matter if you haven't worn it for ages. It doesn't matter if it doesn't even actually fit at the moment. It doesn't matter if it's on its last legs. It's something that you've loved or do still love. And this is where you can really learn something about your style and ask yourself, why did I love it? And write it down. It could be that you felt amazing in it because of the colour. It could be that you felt amazing in it because of the cut, the fabric, what you wore it with, an event you went to. There'd be lots of reasons behind why you love a particular item. And when you start to apply this question to one, then another and another of items in your wardrobe, what you will see is that a pattern will emerge. And it'll be a pattern to do with your inner self. It'll be a pattern that describes things that you really love and why you love them. And it'll be different for all of us. We're not looking for any set answers here. It will be absolutely different for all of us. You know, it could be for one, it could be, I love it because it's so feminine and floral and flouncy. But for another, it could be, I love it because it's a natural fibre and it's comfortable. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the answers are. And I want you to do that to all the items in your wardrobe that you really, really love. One of the things that I want you to do when you're doing that is remove all the judgment. Because one of the things that we're really good at, as particularly as women, is that we carry all this judgment around. Oh, I love that, but I'm too big for it now, or I've put on weight and I can't wear it, or, oh, that was another life and I don't live that life anymore. And we carry all that around with us, and that's not helping when we're trying to find our unique style. So we want to try and leave that judgment at the door. And then I want you to think about items that you perhaps don't love so much. Now, some items that we don't love so much are basics, and they allow us to curate outfits because we need little vest tops or we need little things just to make an outfit work really well. But there'll be other things in there that you've fallen into that, oh, it'll do, I'll buy that because I'm going here or there, oh, it'll do, but it never just does, and we never wear it, and it lives in the wardrobe but doesn't see the light of day. And I want you to have a look at those items, the ones you don't love so much, and really think, well, is it useful? Is it a basic that I can use in my outfit curation? Or is it one that's I've fallen in the trap of, oh, it'll do? And if it's an it'll do, I want you to seriously consider whether it needs to stay, because what we want is to have a wardrobe full of items we love, and we don't need loads. You know, if anyone saw my wardrobe, I don't have actually that many clothes, but we want to slowly start to understand what we love so that we can have fewer of them, but they work well together.
On this subject of you just saying there that you don't have a lot of items in your wardrobe, that might be quite surprising for people talking to a stylist who says, I don't have many items in my wardrobe. I want to say a note, because I've heard you speaking a few times about investment pieces, because you grew up in an age where there wasn't a lot of fast fashion like there is today. And you're quite passionate about talking about this, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, as you've alluded to there, fast fashion now is, it's everywhere. Back in the day, it wasn't. It was that old Vivian Westwood quote when she would always say, buy less, buy well, and make it last. So we're not saying that we have to spend a lot of money on an item, but if we buy towards the top of whatever our budget is, we're likely to be getting items that are better made and will last us much longer. And then the idea of the investment is not only that it lasts long, but it's the really carefully considered purchase that will work for us until it doesn't anymore, but that's a long time.
Absolutely. So I guess your style finder could be used for buying new items as well, couldn't it?
Absolutely. And one of the things that will come out of the style finder, if you go through and really look at every piece you've got that you love, is you'll start to notice gaps within the wardrobe. So you might, just as an example, you might find that you've got, you know, 10 t-shirts, but actually only one or two bottoms, be that skirts or jeans or trousers. And you think, well, actually, I could make those t-shirts work even harder if I just had one more piece to pair them with on the bottom half. And that then would be a choice of what it was going to be. But it's we don't necessarily need lots, but just sometimes one or two added pieces that will be highlighted from doing this exercise.
Absolutely. So we definitely urge you to give this a go. So if you want to give the style finder a shot, you will find a link to Sarah's great exercise in the show notes. So we'll link to it there and in the article which accompanies this episode. Sarah, that's been an absolute gem of an exercise. It's been great talking to you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I've loved it.
So what are the most important takeaways from this episode of the Originaires podcast? 1. Our world today is image driven, and there's a lot of pressure to follow fashion, trends, and the influence of others. Pressure also comes in the form of expectations and judgment all around us. But your greatest confidence comes when you can find your true self in your style and find a way to embrace this your way. This might be in subtle or bold ways, depending on the situation. 2. Like Sarah, you may be surprised to find how noticeable your special, original gifts are to others. You may think they're normal or instinctive, but your gifts are unique to you. When you become aware of just how special your gifts are and choose to do something with them, you can make a big difference, not just in your life, but in the lives of others too. It's great to see Sarah enjoying a life of creative fulfillment while showering others with so much confidence. 3. Have a go at Sarah's style finder exercise using the link in the show notes. It's enlightening to discover why you love particular items and to uncover the pattern behind this. Don't forget to remove any judgment though. You can also use a style finder when you're out shopping for new items. In time, your original style will begin to appear, one that fills you with confidence. Now is the greatest time to tap into the power of your originality to make amazing things happen. The Originaires podcast features expert tips and ideas to help you make the most of your originality, stand out and succeed. You will also enjoy regular inspiration from Originaires around the world. They'll open up about how they've achieved great things, got through the challenges, and the most important lessons they've learned. Subscribe now, because Originaire, this is your time. You make the future.